Thank you.
Well, tonight, in celebration of having gotten through last week, I made up a full set of notes on tonight's lecture on a dinner napkin. Always seems to be much more proper to talk from notes. Everybody does this. And people even get so absent-minded that they will not only plan what they're going to say, but will sometimes get it typed down and read it. You wouldn't believe this, but I have seen it done, actually. It's just a statement that one, of course, doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Now, that's a fact. If you, at any one time in your life, suddenly go in for crutches and say, "Yup, that's what I have to have, new set of crutches. That's just what I need, crutches." Why, you got them. Now, some pre-clear comes along, and he tells you he's normal on crutches, all bent over and so on. And he comes along, and you as an auditor start to run out a flock of engrams on him. Oh, you run engrams to the right and engrams to the left, and you run effort and so on, and this guy still keeps going around with these crutches. Well, you work yourself into a fine lather. Hours go by. I understand that there's a character in New York, forget his name just now, something like Dr. Fall, who has been known to audit people for 150,000 hours. This is quite remarkable. It requires 36 hours of auditing every day on one pre-clear. But anyway, you could even be as expert an auditor as that. And if you didn't ask this pre-clear somewhere along the line of your ardor, sweatings, finger snappings, grittings of the teeth, other auditing signs, if you didn't ask him, "When did you decide to have crutches?" And he says, "Well, it was May the 18th, 1940. And he says, "That's funny." He gets up off the couch and walks off and leaves you his crutches. This is embarrassing to an auditor when it happens, because it's apparently an invalidation of his skill. Now the point is that you may audit for a long time, you may audit somebody, and you shake some of these postulates loose. And then he goes down the street and he takes a bromo seltzer, and he's sitting there drinking the bromo seltzer, and all of a sudden, zing, he figures this all out, because the bromo seltzer relaxes him and he can think for a moment. And then he said, "Why did I take all that auditing? Here I am well suddenly, and it must have been the bromo seltzer." Now, I'm just pointing out to you reasons why you should know postulate process. It's embarrassing not to know it, just as it's very embarrassing to me not to have thought of it before. Now, I want to give you the shape and size of Dianetics as she is at this moment. The shape is a circle. Size is pretty big. That it is one circle in an infinity of circles should not particularly discourage us. It's taken man accumulating information some 50,000 years to get this circle together. I hope the next one goes a little faster, 10,000 years at least. I want to be around to see it happen. And so here is your size and shape Dianetics as of this moment. This is an inductive-deductive circle. It's been around for quite some time. Here's nothing known. Here's one datum known. Here is induction, inductive reasoning. And here is deductive. Here is everything known. Now, this circle can be applied to as small a thing as a razor blade, and as large a thing as the physical universe, and as large a thing as everything there is to know any place about anything, anywhere, anyhow. It can be big, or it can be small. But for the purposes of our workout, let's take this on the order of magnitude of the science of physics. Good old physics. Boys had a lot of trouble with physics. Physics had to come along before Dianetics could be born, merely to get man's distracted feeling about mess resolved. Something like a fellow who has a toothache, somebody keeps hitting him in the head, and he can't pay any attention to being hit in the head until he does something about the toothache or vice versa. As long as he tries to pay attention to both of them, he gets nothing accomplished. Theta, in its act of control, conquest of the physical universe, of course, would be much more interested in the physical universe than it was in itself or any factor involved with itself. Now, the physical universe has been pretty well resolved. There's a lot to be known about it, but they have actually buttoned up one echelon very well on it. They are getting foggy now. They don't quite know. That's because nobody's come along and told them what the next echelon is. That's the truth. They've got an atomic and molecular phenomena. They've got fission. Well, now, fission and fusion are just on the borderline. Now, they step over into something else when they go a step higher than fission and fusion. Once upon a time, man's whole activity of manufacture was assisted only by his own physical strength and the nimbleness of his fingers. That's all. He got to a point, finally, where he was good enough to whittle a stick. Now, that's very good. Now, that was one buttoned-up echelon. He could do something with the material of the physical universe without growing it or modifying it within his own body. Well, that was a jump there, and that made a circle. The next circle, which he accomplished, had to do with breaking stone with stone. And so we had a stone age. Now, somewhere along there, a circle of larger magnitude started. And that was the circle of fire. What can you do with fire? Today we have a fire civilization. Everything that you wear, that you have, you see, except human beings themselves, and nothing but chaotic mess, is produced with the aid and assistance of fire. There is some electricity being made without the assistance of fire. It has even come up to the point where electricity is being made without the assistance of fire to make the machinery with which the electricity is manufactured. That would mean that you'd have electrical blast furnaces and so on. But again, we're into fire the second we melt down metal. And so once more, the electrical age, so-called, is very dependent upon the fire age. One is merging into the other. So we have today, actually, a second echelon aboring, which is the electrical age. And we have buttoned up, with great thoroughness, the fire age. So we have a circle of fire. Here on fire is, man didn't even know there was such a thing as fire. And then one day, way off in the distance, he saw a forest fire set by lightning or something of the sort. And he knew that there was some kind of a phenomenon caused by the gods or animals or something which made light at night when there wasn't any sun. Must have been a very interesting observation. The people who made this observation the first time were probably terrifically struck by it. And somebody came along and he said, why, it's obviously the product of the gods. And they went along for many, many generations. And one day, somebody was standing around in the woods and saw the lightning strike. And of course, everybody knew that the lightning was God. And saw the lightning strike and saw a fire burst and begin where that lightning had struck. He had proven, as far as he was concerned, that this was the kind of thing it was. He made up a legend, which one of the very, very late legends about fire is the legend of Prometheus. And he made up legends about this sort of thing, and there was a big priesthood about it, and it was wonderful, fire. And it finally led around to a point where they could handle lead, bronze, and then iron, and finally steel, all with fire. Everything used of any importance in World War I, everything used in World War I was actually a direct product of fire. Everything but one of World War II was a direct product of fire. Elementary physics is actually material and energy forces in balance, and it circles around fire. Fire is its main center. Now, the boys have jumped off into another echelon, but nevertheless, that echelon rather refines down what we know as the physical universe. It's very natural that Theta should take all these steps and get the physical universe in very good shape as far as the experience of individuals is concerned before it began to show any concern about itself. It is not evidently an accident that this sort of thing happens. In the first place, it required the knowledge acquired in the science of physics. And some of the knowledge which is acquired in atomic molecular phenomena, and certainly some knowledge of the mathematics involved in the science of physics, not much more actually than you get in high school, but it required the knowledge of these things in order to turn around and find out what Theta was. And far as its how is concerned, what is the how of its operation? Now, Dianetics started out with question. What is known about the phenomena of life, mind, energy? By known, we mean what is known, what is really nailed down about this, without 180 exceptions, 18 question marks, and 5 books on psychology thrown in. In other words, these terrific indefinitenesses existed with relationship to the field of the human mind. The postulate worked out that it is probably the answer to any kind of question that we would ask is what is some kind of a dynamic urge with regard to, we'll postulate that life has a mission of some sort. Now, what is the mission, and then how is it accomplishing it? And the first resume was, survive. It's trying to survive. Anything fall outside of this? No. And what are we dealing with here? Well, we find out at this end of track on this circle that we were dealing with the how with the mind and body as a unit. In other words, we've buttoned up lambda. We have not buttoned up theta. We've buttoned up life organisms. At this moment, we know very well the story of the structure of a life organism. It was not possible to know that until the circle had been made. But the odd part of it is now, we do know structure. We got function. We work in function. Now all of a sudden, bing! The second that function was at all buttoned up just on survive, it is going to survive, and how is it going to do it? The second that we got that around, looked like it was about here. The second it got here on function, it went zing the rest of the way on structure. We know the structure of the human anatomy, the structure of life organisms. And we have the science of structure and behavior of life organisms. That's buttoned up. The boys can work on this for a long time. They'll keep pulling scraps out of it. Believe me, though, they're scraps. The structure. Where does what come from? What is the composition of the body? What is the reason for the various parts of the body? How did they get to be that way? All of these various answers. These answers are in existence now in Dianetics. All you had to do is take the axioms, look it over for a while, and figure out your statics and dynamics, run a pre-clear back down the chain on various epicenters. You'll find it. I mean, you don't even have to think it out. But the funny part of it is you can sit there with the axioms, and you can say, well, it probably came into order in this fashion. Send a pre-clear back on the track, and wham, you're right. In other words, we've got structure and we've got function in living organisms. It seems to be genetically that we are on a theta facsimile track, and so on the theta facsimile track is dubbed right along with the genetic track. And it's all very interesting, the interconnections with theta and the physical universe. Another way to state this is that we have pretty well resolved the intricacies of intertwining of theta and the physical universe. Now, we look at it, and all of a sudden we realize that although we thought we had buttoned up more, we haven't. That's all we've got buttoned up. Now, anything into the second echelon, second echelon probably isn't even Y. It's probably an intermediate echelon. Probably Y is the third or 15th or 180th echelon on this. But there's something above this how, and it has to do with the characteristics of theta, the possibility of other theta universes. It has to do with what I would like to refer to at this time as paradianetics, and call it paradianetics until we suddenly resolve enough to call it dianetics. In other words, let's have dianetics wrapped up, what we know, and dianetics that we think maybe, but we don't know we know. Now, exactly what data falls into which field is not a very hard problem. In the first place, the item of past death of the personality, so the personality itself is preserved, is a borderline item, but it's definitely not in the field of paradianetics, and it's not quite in the field of dianetics, but it is moving into the field of dianetics. The answer to that question, I showed you three bins during these lectures. Well, that one is in the middle bin. That is moving down to the third bin. But we don't have to worry much about that because we've got a very excellent bin here. We start out with how and so on and one datum, just one, and inductively extrapolated, by the way. Actually, it's interesting that the whole doggone thing was extrapolated. And it says inductively, well, if it's how and survive, it's mind and body, this is the function, and this is the result, and it just fell together without any bridge built to it. And it leaves one up in the first bin, flying at the speed of light, with no universe to land on. It's a very silly feeling, by the way. Eight people that I know of have gone up the pole now and spun on this one. Temporary spin. You find yourself all of a sudden with both feet off in the full knowledge that you really can't fly, but here you are flying. It's very disconcerting. That's what happens when you get bin one and both feet into bin one. Now, the trick is to get a foot back into bin three, even by beating yourself up or something of the sort, and getting back into bin three, and then gradually getting some of this stuff glued onto the remaining foot in bin one and pulling it down through two and getting it into bin three, what you would call building a bridge. We've built a bridge to an awful lot of data now. It's a great big difference to a datum, unproven, floating around, suspected to be in bin one, and a datum which has been pulled through bin two and is now in bin three with comparisons with the physical universe. There's a big difference between those two things. So the first extrapolation on Dianetics was, well, it was worth about as much as an Egyptian priest mumbo-jumbo, or as the deck of tarot cards, or anything like that. You look at it and you say, gee, I bet there's some fascinating answers in here someplace. And it still seems to have a little power. I remember a fellow came over to see me in 1938. He'd been lying in bed, facing the wall, feeling all beat up and psychotic for a long time. And somehow or other, the urge struck him to come over and see me one day. And he got out of bed, much to everybody's surprise, and came over to see me. He talked to me for about 10 minutes. And I pointed out to him that evidently man was as efficient and as healthy as he was as he felt dangerous to the environment. And if he didn't feel any dangerousness to the environment at all, why, he was sick. And that was near as I could figure out time. And he looked at me, blinked, went home, packed up his bags, went down to Portland, and opened a big book distribution agency and started to take off with the speed of light. Interesting. So you look at this isolated case. So the next guy walks up to you and he says, been awful bad off for a number of years. And you explain to him carefully that man is as healthy as he is dangerous to his environment. He lets out a pale scream and gets twice as bad. Goes home, lies down, faces the wall. So you say to yourself, you know, I bet there's something here that I haven't figured out yet. That's the first step, by the way, in getting from bin one to bin three, is to find some humility. Well, anyway, we do have a circle. Now, it starts out with survive, how of survival, the intertwining and mission of Theta in the meshed universe, the operation of it, how it goes about making the various chemicals and sub-beings necessary to make higher complex beings. It also includes what gets wrong with people, how to put them back together again. An enormous amount of data. There's lots of it. And we've got a codification on it. Now, I have you notice that a circle is a static. It's a static. We have achieved that static. It's nice to have achieved a static. But you step all the way around here. You step right around here, see? You're at zero. Zero. The horrible truth is that as far as Theta is concerned, beyond the fact that it is a static, that it is an energy without wavelength, without weight, without mass, and so forth, as far as we are concerned here, all of which falls into this circle, we don't know anything. I am much more stupid tonight than I was 2 weeks ago. I mean, I don't know anywhere near what I knew 2 weeks ago. It's a good symptom. It means I've gotten the gumbo off my shoe there in bin one, and I've evidently got them both now in bin three. I think I'm going to enjoy it for a while. Very uncomfortable making them straddle all the time. But now, what universe do we move into? That is, what's the next circle? And so on. I've got any idea. It's interesting not to have any idea on the subject. New, novel, healthy. I'm thinking of going out, and Don invited me to go out and shoot some ducks. I think I'll go out and shoot some ducks or something like that. I look at the problem, and it's just, oh. it's so zero on known data that the only shadow of a datum is that as far as the Theta universe is concerned, or if there is a Theta universe, gosh, somebody came up to me right now and asked me how many pennies there were in a dime, I'd look at him blankly. Huh? I sure feel ignorant. There's a bug, you see. Every time you get around a full circle, you're just getting in there, and now I'll show you what really the actual setup. Apparently, you see, is a full circle until you look very close, and then you'll find you have to go up a pole again. I'm so tired of going up poles. Here's everything known, and just the moment you put it down and you say, now we know everything there is to know about... Gosh. The bug is in ARC, and obedience. There's a bug there. And anybody who wants to join me in the loony bin, if I ever start to think about this, come around and I'll give you the full details on it. And I guarantee you'll probably go right straight up the pole. Because this, in essence, is the pole. Very interesting thing. ARC is full obedience. Complete, utter, slavish obedience. or it's very high-level cooperation. It is either complete self-determinism or complete slavery. And that's what lies on the circle. And that's what makes the circle out. Here we come around this way. Self-determinism, 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 self-determinism. It should be self-determinism. Only it's not. It says complete slavish obedience. At that moment, you drop this whole problem like an overwarm spud and get out of there and go duck hunting. I want to point out to you that that is the bug so that we don't get arguing about it. Without demonstrating ARC to a psychotic does not get well. Without auditing in the field of ARC, you with the use of ARC, your preclear does not get well. If you want to turn on ARC in an individual, you get the absolute agreement and march it back up through this mystical, magical level to all of a sudden where he has cooperative agreement. There's some difference between the two. I don't know what it is. And we look at life, and we find out that life started out, and by the way, we're there at that point. We're at the point that life started out. I can run almost any pre-clear you give me right back into it. Bang! It's a very interesting experience. It's a photon converter, and it's fascinating. It wants no affinity, no agreement, no communication. It wants to give out no affinity, no agreement, no communication. It does not want to receive no communication. It does not want to receive no affinity. And it does not want to receive no agreement. That was the third one. Furthermore, it does not want to give out no affinity, no agreement, no communication. M theta or theta, no transmission desired. Thank you. And only at the moment of impingement of photons does it recognize that it can't support this desirable setup, but that it must surrender and agree to the laws of the physical universe. The second it does that, you start out on the evolutionary chain. That's here as another circle, one data building. That is, by the way, complete self-determinism, uninfluenced by anything, suddenly influenced by photons. And you can start off with that. You can find that in pre-clears. It's at the beginning of the genetic line. Fascinating. You can take somebody who never heard Dianetics, something of the sort, and say, let's go back till you find some light. Now, you know that people are always running into a spot of light conception. Well, a spot of light isn't a conception. That's why it would never reduce. It's back there about 18 billion years. Of course, it's in present time because theta isn't any place else being a static. It's not in present time either. It's no place. So right there, we're into this tremendous question. Just what it is going on. I don't know. Right back of that. But what happens when you back through this thing? You go up the pole. You evidently back through it. You don't achieve anything when you back through it, but you achieve something when you back through it, and you're off into a whole hat full of new questions. Now, the only reason I'm covering this tonight is so nobody will walk up to me and say, but theta, and so on, but ARC, but agreement, is complete obedience, is necessary, but people don't get along without it, but they have to have it, but it's complete obedience, and in order to turn on perceptics, you've got to run out and force ARC in order to get free ARC, and then they think about it for a moment, and they realize there's no such thing as free ARC. There can't be. And they find out that from the earliest instant on the chain, the first moment of impingement upon the physical universe, we go out of the valence shift. Physical universe, bang, bang, bang. Thing collapses, says, I can't live in this form. I've got to ally myself with other photon converters or something of the sort. And out of valence, agreed with the physical universe to the effect that it builds something, it's beaten into building something, that will withstand photon bombardment. Then it gets all set that way, and it starts to get waves and rocks, and every time then that it hit an evolutionary line, it went into obedience, just like that. But the second it flicked through, all of a sudden, out of this utter obedience to the mesh universe, we have affinity, reality, and communication. And that cycle keeps going. Organism doesn't do well. All of a sudden, it goes down in ARC, down in ARC, down in ARC, right to the bottom. And the bottom of ARC is complete, utter, slavish agreement. It is death. It's a complete static. It's everything that's wrong. And from that point, all of a sudden, does this magical shift and is up at the top of the tone scale again. And goes through another cycle of generations, drifts down, down, down the tone scale, an exact ratio that is beaten up of the physical universe, comes into complete agreement with the physical universe. Now the next cycle of generations finds it first at the top, enjoying the physical universe, saying, fine. But it was in complete obedience to it. Now it starts to enjoy it. And from that point thereon, goes down, 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 until all of a sudden, bing, is in utter disagreement with the physical universe, but has to agree with the physical universe completely. From the disagreement, it falls immediately off into a slavish agreement. Next cycle of generations, it's up at the top of the tone scale again. This has been going on with the theory of the epicenter. It's been going on evidently for billions of years on the genetic line. It poses a very nice bug in Dianetics. What do you do? What do you do with this guy? Is he up the tone scale or down the tone scale? If I put him up the tone scale in this life, why then does that mean that he won't evolve or what's this all about? Well, the only thing you could be doing it to would be theta, and we don't know anything about theta, so what the hell? So let's just worry about this generation. Now, I'm pointing out these things to you. To some of you, it may seem very strange that I was going along this line of approach, but I'm trying to outline what seems to be the upper limit of Dianetics right now and to show you what is in existence if you care to ask for it or look for it. You've got the axioms. Within the physical universe, those are ringtail snorters. They just work like a clock. They will extrapolate new phenomena, which when looked for is found all over the place in complete abundance. I got some phenomena the other day on the seashore. I've got to go down to the seashore and take a look. I know it's there. I want to go look at it. I'd never realized this about the shore before. And, you can do a lot of interesting work like this. But don't let yourself get swirled up in any degree on this ARC cycle. Just why this takes place, why you have to get into complete slavish agreement with the physical universe before you can be a master of the physical universe, is something I don't quite know, but that's the upper echelon of our knowledge. And that is the cycle. And you've got to know this. This one, you've got to know cold, that this cycle actually takes place. You've got to use it. And when I say you've got to, that's not an authoritarian level at all. I'll explain it to you in a moment, and you'll see why. It's because when it goes down into complete obedience with the physical universe, that's death. That's death for an organism. And promptly, it goes out of valence into a new center. A new center of command. And it goes out of valence. Now, you'll find that new center of command is at the top of the tone scale. And you'll find it dwindles away to the bottom of the tone scale, and it stays in valence until it starts to get down around 2, start to flip out of valence, and then you start to get disagreement, interpolated affinity, and a very bad kickback on communication. And this is the occluded case. He just happens to be latched up in some epicenter, or is down the line on an old epicenter, to the point where he's in the lower bar of the tone scale. He just happens to be held to the point where he's busy stopping time with his epicenter. That's all. But he's about to skid into a new center. Now, he can kick off, blow his brains out or something, and wake up in the next life with a high ARC, or he can get dynamic processing. Well, if he gets Dianetic processing, this is all right, because maybe all of this is cleaned up all the way along the line. I don't think that we are in any degree really tampering with structural factors, for the good reason that most of the structural factors are, they're too numerous, and there are too many pleasure moments, and there's too much adaption along this line. So we don't have to worry about that too much. But you must know this mechanism of the genetic line, because you're going to run into it with preclears. They're going to tell you this evening how you can resolve cases in a few hours on effort process. It starts out with complete self-determinism. That is to say, it doesn't want, doesn't need, doesn't have to have bad or good ARC, and then gets beaten into the bottom of the tone scale finally, goes out of valence, and is at the top of the tone scale, and then drifts down the tone scale in the next cycle of forms, and then goes to the bottom, goes out of valence, and it's an interesting cycle. It's a beautiful cycle. And you'll find your preclear running back, and if your preclear starts getting into periods when he is all of a sudden out of valence, that's the end of that cycle. That's all. And what you want to do to get your preclear in valence is getting back to the apathy of agreement from his out of valence. Just don't tell him to get in valence. That's nonsense. Get your apathy of agreement, and you feel his apathy, and he can get back into it, and all of a sudden he's at the bottom of the tone scale, and you start him coming up again. So the way to get your preclear into valence and up the tone scale is not by just erasing pain. You can do that till the well-known infernal regions have a deep freeze. And you won't get very far. But what you want to do, if you find your preclear out of valence, he's partly en route to a new control center, but boy, is he miserable with the one he's got. He'll be in bad shape. And what you want to do is get him back into his old control center where he is perfectly happy and able. Very cheerful about the whole thing. And the way you do this is simply go back through the apathy strata. Utter, slavish, acceptance, agreement with the messed universe. Not with other organisms, you understand. With the messed universe. Of course, it may seem to him that he's in with other organisms, but this is just the mess part of those organisms. And down at the bottom of the tone scale, you work this apathy out for a while, and then he'll start up into disagreement, bad communication. You expect some dub in right about there, by the way. He goes up the full cycle. And then when he gets up to about 2, the thing starts to cut in with some antagonism. He'll go on up the tone scale on this. The more you run it, and you'll find him going on up the tone scale, and you've got high ARC on this incident. And you'll have to do that incident after incident after incident after incident. Now, there's a cycle of effort in effort processing, which if you don't understand, will inhibit your achievement of good results. I address that particularly to foundation auditors, because I heard of one preclear being processed around here for 2 hours, 2 solid hours, without the relief of a chronic somatic. And that may be all right in the field, but it can't be all right here. We want these 30-minute knockouts. Let's get this going at the speed it can go. I'm not kidding when I talk about speed. As soon as you get accustomed to what epicenters are and you want to try effort processing on an individual, zing! He is on his way very rapidly. You will have to know, and you should study for yourself, what the evolutionary chain is, what the chains of epicenters are, and resolve in that fashion the chronic somatics from which your preclear is suffering, and resolve them on the earliest possible level. Get the first epicenter that you can possibly reach and get into the valence and up the tone scale and turn them all up the tone scale all the way up the line. I think your preclear goes poof at the end of it, but that's quite all right. Draft boards loudly mad at you. They need men in Korea. No, seriously, the point is that just by turning it up the tone scale each turn, there's apparently an immediate use by the new control center of the old control centers cooperatively. There's apparently this. So there's almost a rational control throughout the body, which couldn't exist in any other fashion. Control centers, since time immemorial, the new center has had to use bludgeons on the old center, has used its death facsimiles on it, has used pain facsimiles, I should say, to those of you who don't like deaths, on it in order to get it into utter obedience. So you can trace these things. It's very easy. I could take a high school boy, certainly, and teach him to track back on this chain so that he would find out where the epicenters are. You're very much into structure. Before very long, you probably will know, as an auditor, exactly which level to start hitting to get the fastest results for the exact chronic somatic that you want to achieve. What epicenter do you bring up the tone scale? It's that easy. But there's even a gunshot method. There is a certain series of epicenters that you can hit almost any time, which will achieve fantastic results in your preclear. Now, we're not talking about bringing preclears up to theta mest clears. We're not talking about tone 4. We're talking about tone 40. You tackle effort processing, you don't get a little 2-bit gain creep along so the guy goes out and spits in his boss's eye or something mild like that. You start turning this stuff on, this guy gets to be 11 feet tall. I'm kidding you. This is fast. Now, I'm telling you how fast you should understand it to be so that you won't be content with doing it slowly. Now, there's practically nothing you can do wrong with effort processing. And that is deceptive. That will permit an individual to be content with efforts he should never be content with. Preclear walks in, you say, well, give us the effort affinity, not to have affinity, effort to have, not to have agreement, the effort not to so on and other. You just gunshot into some epicenter and bring it up 3 or 4 points, and the guy feels good. You say, boy, I really did a session. You only got the guy to 4, 6, or 8. Dickens with this. This is something like going down to the U.S. Treasury, suddenly being presented with the U.S. Treasury, and going down and walking up to the teller and saying, I now have a deed and bill of sale for the Treasury. Give me 25 cents. That's about what it amounts to. Almost anything you do with effort can produce results. Almost impossible to go very wrong with it. You can go on the old basis of non-survival. All effort is non-survival because it's overcoming some earlier non-survival effort. And you just go on that basis, and you can pick up a dictionary and you can say, all right, give us the effort to be mean to cats. Look, I'll give it to you. Keep him at it for a few minutes. You don't even have to run it out. It doesn't stay in re-stimulation very much. All of a sudden, he gets some kind of a picture in some past life of being eaten up by a cat, or he gets some cat jumping on his chest when he's a baby or something. You don't care what he gets, beside the point. And all of a sudden, he feels all right about cats, and you go down, and it says, coats. Well, how do you feel about coats? And what's your effort not to wear a coat? Or what's your effort not to have coats? And he'll give it to you. And the guy works along like this, and he feels wonderful. He just feels grand. He hasn't felt like this in years. And all of a sudden, his left toenail, it used to come off all the time. It doesn't come off anymore. And you say, gee, I'm something. Well, as far as auditing is concerned, you're, well, something like the difference between Marshall Field's department store in Chicago and selling peanuts on the corner. Just about that wide a margin. Nothing, if ever processing, nothing was ever like it before to show up the skill of an auditor. But fortunately, the skill is very codified and very easy to communicate. So there are many echelons of effort processing. It's pretty hard to do it wrong. You don't have to even know very much about Dianetics. You just set somebody down in the chair and they say, I have a dreadful headache. You just say, give us the effort to have the headache. And he, and you say, all right, give us the effort not to have the headache. And he says, ow, ow, ow. And you say, give us the effort. And he'll give it to you again. Now, give us the effort now to have it again, and the effort not to have it, and, why, my headache is all gone. And he said, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. I love you. And, it's great. Turned up his ARC, too. You can turn it up to a point, though, where he's your slave. You want to stop there, quick, if you're running a welfare state. I'm not letting the Democratic administration in on this. How to get votes. And, the other, that, and you can do that. You can teach a kid to do that. Or you're, as Don did one morning, a little boy comes in with a cold, chest cold, he doesn't want to go to school. And you say, well, what's your left foot think about it? And what's your right foot think about it? Can you feel all alive in your right shoulder? And can you feel all alive in your left shoulder? And the little kid says, gee, this is a nice game. I feel alive. Yeah, I can feel alive there. Gee, it's a nice game. I'm playing with Daddy, and it doesn't do me any harm. Of course, my cold's getting worse, but... yeah, I can feel here. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's fine. Well, I think I'll go to school. Now, you don't remind him that he just had a cold. Oh, that's probably the workability of it. It's pretty good. I don't know. That's a game you can play with kids and so on. All it does is distract his attention, so the counter effort comes in on him. And the counter effort will come in on him and burn up, you see? I mean, it'll be sensitized by distracting his attention from holding it up. There's the counter effort posed there in present time. You just distract his attention a little bit, and it'll hit him. And he doesn't really recognize it hits him, particularly in the presence of high ARC with Daddy. And boom, you've knocked out the somatic. Now, that's another way to do it. You can play that one to death, by the way. That'll make somebody sick if you're sometimes too, but that's all right. You can cure me. The kind of processing which I would like you to know as auditors is not effort processing. I want you to know effort processing. How one thing break accomplished this one. And I've paid a little attention around here lately looking at the processing that's been happening, and I find out that they're doing this. And when there's that one sitting there already to be done, that is the system of knocking out the facsimiles, which not only keep down the fellow's ARCs along the track, giving chronic somatics, that knocks out the facsimiles which could give him trouble. That takes care of future. That takes care of present and future. Now, you can do a little gunshot job on this kind of processing. You can take care of the past and present a little bit. But don't think that another one might not turn on, because it will. I'm talking now about how you swamp up a case from Photon to streetcar motorman. And it shouldn't take you very long to do so. 50 hours should be a high estimate. Of course, I haven't estimated how fast auditors work on this yet. But 50 hours ought to be a high estimate. I know 50 hours to be out of sight with the processing that I've got in mind. Now, I just got through victimizing Preclear a bit and running off some past deaths. Isn't much sense in running off past deaths. They're pinned down too well. Why don't you get the first agreements on the case? Because what's important in these past deaths is the postulates the individual makes. Well, these are all hooked up with earlier postulates, which are hooked up with earlier postulates, which are hooked up with earlier postulates. The only thing in an engram that is really rough is the fellow's own postulates. That's what he thinks. His self-determinism, which has been hidden in the middle of the effort of the engram. Of course, we couldn't reach it before. We were just taking out somatics and perceptics. And all of a sudden, there's postulates turn up in the middle of these engrams. Well, you better go back and get the earliest postulate that you can possibly get. You can get a postulate. By the way, I've been meaning to take Preclear and pick up this postulate. The physical effort to agree to live. The physical effort to agree to be a photon converter.
I don't know what happens to him when he does that.
But the point is that there's that kind of a postulate on the track. And you get some very early postulates on this. You get some interesting postulates. You'll get it out of the genetic line at a level that they don't... evidently not thinking or talking. You wouldn't think this level had any sense at all. And you'll get some kind of a felt postulate about it. I'm not standing here talking through my hat. I realize that very few of you have been had anybody back on the track and have experienced this either as an auditor or pre-clear. That's why I'm talking to you. Because this can be done with great ease. There are some things back on the track that you just never imagined they could be that rough. Boy, you can take one of these occluded cases and blow their head off with this stuff. Of course, after it's done, the fellow, these little somatics, you know, like getting guillotined in 1780. I mean, nothing to it. Little somatics like getting in this car wreck with 8 people dead and so forth in this life. I mean, it's like playing tiddlywinks. And we'll blow just about on the order of an engram in which you're playing tiddlywinks once you get back on the effort track. You start getting out these earlier efforts, you'll feel all the later ones start peeling off. The fellow, after you're through processing, will sit there in a sort of a stunned daze. You'll think he's a normal. And he'll keep going. All of a sudden, and you say, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I'm just getting clicks of things. It isn't very much." You say, "Well, give me the moment you agreed to be processed." And he gives it to you and turns off. You let him go then till the next time. Get the rest of it. What's happening is you've started a chain concatenation on effort. And it'll keep working so that engrams are blowing all the way up the track on that one effort. And believe me, when you start to blow the agony out of a basic one-celled animal, which has its effort in common with every other cell in the organism... I beg your pardon, because the other cells join the organism later. You've got to get basic cell effort. We're back awfully close to some of the stuff in the first book with this. That's interesting. You get the basic somatics out of that thing, and its basic efforts to hold, and its basic efforts to expand, and so on. You get the somatics off of that line, and you'll get a responding concatenation on every other cell that it has ever sired since. And it really tears on up the line at a very fine rate of speed. Now, you're not doing chain scanning of engrams. You don't have to do that. What you do is get out basic effort, and after that, nothing else has anything to hang on to in the way of physical agony. And so the physical agony is of each successive pain on the thing says, "Well, wait a minute, I was zoned." And it's gone, too. Well, I hate to invite your incredulity this way, but I do want to you to get some concept of magnitude on the rooster. A rooster came running back to the barnyard one day, and he said to about 8-9 hens, he says, "Hey, come on." He went running off, and they followed him, and he got into an ostrich farm, and he says, showed him a big ostrich egg. He said, "I don't mean to criticize, but I want to show you what's being done elsewhere." But regardless of that, I don't want any of you auditors laying any eggs with us. Let's take a break.